Yes, so for those of you that don't know, John and Elizabeth, my mum and dad. So I've been here, been coming many times over the years, but had the privilege of coming to speak in, I think it was November, wasn't it? So a little while ago I was over and I was able to preach a message then, and it must have been okay because I've been asked if I could do another one. So here we are today. I've got something to share with you. I've got all my things that I need. I'll just get myself started. Got a good video to show at the end, so hopefully the technology is working, and we'll finish off with that. But I'm going to just ask with a bit of a horrible question to get us started. It's a bit of a provocative one, really. If you could grade yourselves as a Christian out of 10, I wonder what you would give. Don't answer that one, because it's not meant to be a question that you answer. It's just one of those provocative ones that actually, if we were to self-reflect and look at our walk as a Christian and our relationship with Jesus, crumbs, how are things? I wonder if you'd give yourself sort of a reasonably high, a 7 or an 8. You know, things are going quite well. God's working in my life, and I'm seeing God move. I see miracles. I see people become Christians. My relationship with God is intimate and close. You might give yourself one of those sort of marks. You might actually think, well, I'm the biggest sinner of everyone. I couldn't possibly give myself so high a mark. I could give myself a 1 or a 0, or woe is me. It's nothing to do with me. It's all Jesus, of course. But I just wonder whether we look at our lives at all and think and self-reflect on how we're doing in our walk. And for me personally, I'm not going to give you a mark. But I do look at that myself and I think, well, how's things in my life? I think it's important. It does say in Scripture to look at ourselves as well. And I think for me, I'd look at it and think, well, I know God's doing stuff. I see healings from time to time. I have good conversations with friends and colleagues, and I read the Bible and I pray and I have a close relationship with God. And I reflect on those things. And you can look at that and think, okay, yeah, well, things are going all right. I think God is using me. God is working around my life. And yet at the same time, recognizing that, well, actually, God has got so much more for me. So much more. I just haven't even tapped into it, really. And it's having that balance, isn't it, between thinking, well, actually, I know I'm in the right direction. I'm walking in the right direction. I've just said walking. I'll come on to that. That's interesting, because it's all about today, my message about running for God. And I'm sort of heading in the right direction with God. But I know that there is a huge amount more that God has got for me. And the more we read the Bible, the more we look closely at it, and look at the way that God is calling us to live, and the way that the people that we read about in the Bible, how their lives were, and the things that they did, and the things they experienced, and the ways in which they worked with Jesus, and after Jesus, and all of that. I think it's just, you recognize, wow, there is so much that God wants for me, so much more he wants for my life. And I guess a little bit of an analogy that I would play is that I think my son has probably gone out of the room now, I don't know where he is, but Finley's 14, my boy, and he goes to secondary school now, and they get interim reports. So get a report at the end of each term that reflects on how well they've been doing. 1, 2, 3, or 4. 1's outstanding, 2 is good, 3 is not, and 4 is don't go there. And so he gets a mark at the end of each term, and it's good. He's a good boy. He does well, and he tries pretty hard, and he generally gets, I think his last one was probably the most reflective, he gets lots of 2s. And we encourage those 1s, and if he gets a 4, he's in trouble. He does get the odd 3, and that's probably a bit of homework here and there. But 2s, you know, good. Finley, good. Well done, it's good. But I want those 1s for you. I want the best, because I know the potential. I think when we have children, we know the potential they carry, and I know that he is capable of getting very, very good feedback from his teachers, not just because of the brains he has, but, you know, if he applied himself, like most people, I think you could get those 1s. And for me, I think that was sort of a good analogy, in that actually, for me, my Christian walk, I think I could say 2s, yeah, no, I think I'm moving in the right direction. But I know that those 1s are there, not to imply that therefore perfection is achievable, but you know what I mean? We can walk in the right direction, and God has got so much more. And I do a lot of, I don't do a lot of reading. I do some reading. I want to do more reading. And the last time I came, I shared about a book from Sean Bolts. translating God. And here's a guy that I will read about and look online and see some of the stuff he does. And there's other guys as well. John Piper's, the video later is from John Piper and Desiring God. Francis Chan is someone at the moment, it's just one of my favorites. The guy is just amazing in the things that he says. And I've got his book, not that I'm plugging a book or anything, but I've been reading this recently. And it's really stirred me, actually, in some of the things he's been saying. But those guys, I look at some of those things that those guys do, and Todd White is another one. I don't know if anyone has seen him, Lifestyle Christianity, and just out and about, and healings, and miracles. And I look at those guys, and I think, you know, I want my life to be similar to the things that I read like that. Because these guys have obviously got a good, deep, close, personal, intimate relationship with Jesus, and he is working through them, and they are able to share with their churches, with the wider group of people, and you can read about them, you can watch them, and think, I want some of that. Not that I want the thing, but I want that relationship, and I want to be operating in that way. And so that's sort of where I'm at, in that my walk is going well, in some senses, but there is so much more, and I see some of the stuff that does go on in just normal people in the 21st century, and think, I want that. I don't want to settle for just where I am. And the thing that has sort of spoke to me most recently, I touched on this book, it's called Crazy Love. I don't know how many people have read Crazy Love by Francis Chan. I think no one. There you go. So there's a book. And Dad asked me the other day, actually, how is it good? I was like, it's not, I'll be honest, it's not like, wow, this is an amazing book that I just cannot put down. But you know, sometimes when a book, it just, the core point of it, and it's called Crazy Love, there's a chapter in here about lukewarm. And I thought, crumbs, you know, when it just gets crumbs. I could actually, reading this, my mark has gone down to a 3, I think, out of 10, because you recognize, actually, he is, and I've watched a lot of his videos recently, his sermons, his preachers that are on YouTube, and he is just so emphasizing the importance of the Bible. And the more, over the last few years, he has gone into the Bible and said, the American church, he's out in America, he said, it just does not reflect what the Bible looks like. And he recognized that. And his church, he had a church of 5,000 people. And he left, basically, not just like that. But after a long, considering, prayerful time, he's gone. And he's just stripping it right back to this, because he recognizes that the things that get in the way, the way that we do church, the way that we live at Christians, when you read, really, really, really read the scriptures and look at them, so many ways we are not actually living lives like what I read about when I open this. And I thought, well, actually, let me get some examples of my own then. So it was actually just yesterday, I was going through the book of Acts. And I'm just looking at some of the examples, just through the book of Acts. I didn't even get to the end because I've got enough examples already. But it's just the first sort of 16 chapters or so. Healings. Regular, amazing healings. Giving generously. And I don't mean that as in you just put a bit extra in the offering or anything, but giving completely. People in Acts that would actually, they sold their possessions. They sold their land and they gave all the money for the benefit of other people. And actually, that in itself is, wow, could I do that? If God asked me to sell my house to give the money to be a blessing to other people, could I do that? I'm not saying that's what he's telling you to do, but looking through the Bible, people lived that way. And actually, Jesus gave everything, didn't he? He gave everything. He left heaven to come and live on earth. That alone is amazing. He gave his life, and he gives to the maximum that he possibly could. And that sense of how much do we give, that challenged me. Like, crumbs, I know I tithe and I give within my means. Can I give beyond, actually? Can I have such a giving heart? Actually, Kerry hasn't heard this message yet, so she's probably getting worried now. Oh, we're going to sell the house. But just that sense of, you know, how generous, in not just financial senses, but how generous am I with my time? Am I an okay? Am I lukewarm generous? Or am I sold out for Jesus generous? And going through the book as well, you know, people died. Stephen gave his life. He gave his life when people were challenging him over what he believed, and he was stoned because of what he believed. It's like, that is extreme, isn't it? It's radical. It's radical, but one of the things that Francis Chan would be saying recently is actually, I suppose it's only radical if it's It seems radical, but actually it's biblical. It's not radical in a weird sense, that's just for some extreme Christians. It's what the Bible says, and actually living our lives to such a level that I will speak out the gospel, I will share my faith, even if I'm going to face persecution as a result. There's examples of that all the way through. Supernatural events. I got to when Philip baptized the eunuch, and he read the Isaiah, wasn't it? Read it to him, baptized him, and then God took him away and he appeared somewhere else. Transported. It's like, wow, how many of us have been transported? How many of us have had such a close walk with God that God just removes us from one place and we appear somewhere else? And you hear stories like this that it does happen around the world, actually. But I've not experienced it. So actually, I've got a long way to go in terms of my walk with God, my run with God. Resurrection of the dead. Okay, I've seen people healed, I've prayed for people, and I've seen healings. I think a few weeks ago I saw a healing, but a few weeks ago. I don't want my life to be, a few weeks ago this happened. Last year, my friend became a Christian. I remember that time in 2012 when this happened. I don't want that. I want my life to be reflecting like this, and therefore I have a journey ahead of me that I want to see this stuff. Visions from God. Peter had that vision. Maybe visions is something that you're after. Angelic appearances. And Peter being broken out of prison. So Peter had been put in prison and been chained and everything because of his faith, facing persecution. And then an angel appeared and broke those chains off and led him out. How many times have we had an angel come into our presence and lead us out of a situation or lead us into a situation, whatever it might be? So the point being, you know, these are things that we read about in the Bible, and the Bible is not there as an example to us of something that happened many, many years ago. I think it's a lifestyle that God is calling us into, and therefore, and I think without sounding critical towards church or anything, because I've grown up in church all my life, but my church experience, I think, doesn't quite mirror what we read. And I think maybe we've got comfortable in England, in Western society, we got comfortable with our comforts, with the things that we fill our lives with, and perhaps if we're being really harsh, we have a lifestyle where we go, well, yeah, I know, I pray, and I talk to people about my faith, and I do this, and I do that, and I have a great relationship with God. But I wonder if we really, really, honestly, truly reflected on how we're walking with God, does it line up with where Jesus wants us to be? And what I'd love to do is give a whole summary of some of the things I've been reading, but I've been reading it for a little while and I can't do it justice, but hopefully you get what I'm saying and just sort of go away and reflect on it yourself. So why is my life not looking like this? Okay, so why is my, is this something of, partly I think it's because it's been very recently I've been reflecting on it, but I think the point what I want to be preaching on this morning is that actually there's stuff in our life that just gets in the way. Simply as that, we have things going on in our life that just distract, and they are actually more important than some of the things that I've been talking about. I've got three scriptures that I'm going to touch on, and I'll read them as I come to them. But what I want to emphasize as well is that I don't want this message to be I think it could easily come across as quite a critical, you're not doing this and you're not doing that, your life is not looking like this, and that's not, it's not that at all. It needs to be shared in love, and it's, look, God wants the very, very best. Like I said about Finney, he wants a one, he wants the best for you, and God is loving you so much, he wants me to be walking so closely with him. And so these things are things that we just need to reflect, don't we, and evaluate ourselves. So I'm just going to turn to the first scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and I make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Did anyone watch Mo Farah on Friday night? Yeah, one or two of you did. It was a fantastic race. 10,000 meters, it was. It's like, how many laps are they doing? 25 laps? This is a long way. And I was just intrigued, reflecting and again, looking at this yesterday. I was just reminded about Mo Farah and his training. And I thought, I wonder what his training looked like. Now, if you don't know Mo is now the second most, he might even be first, joint first with Usain Bolt, because Bolt didn't win last night. But Mo Farah is like basically the most successful British athlete ever. He's won 6 golds, I think, in world championships and Olympic Games. And he is at the top. He is at the top of his game, and he is a fantastic, fantastic runner. And you think, you don't just get to that, do you, by going out for a few jogs during the week and then turning up at a world championships and hoping that you're going to win. And I thought, his training must be extreme. So I have found a training plan for Mo Farah, shared by his trainer. This is sort of what it looks like, a typical week for Mo Farah. So Monday a.m., 10-mile recovery run. P.m., a 6-mile recovery run. Tuesday a.m., 4-mile warm-up. 8 to 12-mile tempo run, and so on. 3-mile cool-down run. Noon, strength and conditioning for an hour. P.m., 6-mile recovery run. Wednesday, 12-mile recovery run. P.m., 5-mile recovery run. Thursday is 11 miles. In the afternoon is 6 miles. Friday a.m., 4-mile as a warm-up. Of course, you've got to warm up well. 10 lots of 200-meter intervals, 29 seconds each, and then another 10 lot of 200-meter hill sprints in equal effort. Walk back down to recover, 4-mile cool down, and then some more in the afternoon, and then a 4-mile easy. I'll bet his 4-mile easy must be a doddle for him. Saturday, 11-mile recovery run in the morning, 6-mile recovery in the afternoon, and then Sunday, just to finish it off, just a 22 to 27-mile run. No slower than a marathon race pace. And in total, it's 126 to 135 miles a week. So there you go. There's a little typical week for a training program. And my point being, the reason why I share that is that that is dedication, isn't it? That is training to the extreme, where he is doing so much work, so much from Monday to Friday, Monday to Sunday, every single day is on it. And actually, he comes to the event, and he is ready, and he is winning, and he is the best. And just that reflection in terms of this, what Paul was saying in Corinthians, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that won't last, but we do it to get a crown that will last. Therefore, Paul's saying he doesn't run like someone running aimlessly. He doesn't just go out casually and just go for a jog and just do this and a bit of that. I think the analogy between that training program for Mo Farah and our spiritual lives is actually, there's a seriousness to it. There's something that needs to go on for the whole time that is going to win the race, in terms of a race. That actually, what God is wanting for us is not just a bit of a part-time training program, not just a Sunday or a life group, or a chat with a friend a couple of months ago, or it's our life, it's our lifestyle. He's calling us into something that, if I'm being honest, I've never experienced that in my life. I've been in church for all my life, nearly 40 years. But actually, what I've been reflecting on just recently is, wow, actually, there is so much more, so, so, so much more. And that training, making my body a slave, is just crucial. Okay, he had a purpose. And I was reflecting a couple of weeks ago, actually. I went for a haircut a few weeks ago. And went to the hairdressers, and the lady that I like to do my hair, she was with someone else, and it was probably about half an hour wait. So I thought, right, okay. Well, I don't really play many games, but I had one game on my phone. I thought, I'll just wait. I'll get a game out. Kay tells me off when I play the game. So it's just one game. It's okay. Just a game, just to pass the time. You know, sometimes some people like to read, so I'll just play a game. And then it was my turn, got my hair cut, went home. And again, just reflecting on it, I thought, is that what God wants? Is that how God wants to use me? Well, actually, would he not be hoping that actually in that half an hour while I was waiting, or actually as I left my house that morning to go to the hairdressers, that actually I want to carry the kingdom with me and I want to release it wherever I can, and I might want to look for opportunities to talk to someone I might strike up a conversation with someone near me. I might try and bless someone. If nothing else, I might just pray, just quietly. I might read the Bible because I've got a Bible app on my phone. I might, you know, do something that actually is actually helping my walk with God instead of just sitting. And this is where my message is going this morning. You could easily come to the end of this and go, Rob's saying that you shouldn't be able to play a game on your phone. It's not what I'm saying at all, because we all do things in our life that are enjoyable and relaxing, and I'm not criticizing our choices. But for me, was that helping me? Was that time when I went to the hairdressers, was my journey that day, was that something that would please God? Is it lining up with Scripture? And on being self-critical and self-reflective, actually for me, what I want to be doing is going, and I want to be, right, God, how can you use me in this next hour? What can I do to be a blessing to someone else? Can I speak to someone? Can I encourage someone? Can I speak good into someone else? And so that for me is where I'm at in terms of my day. So I said I've got three scriptures. There's the second one now in 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm just going to read 1 and 2 and then jump to another one later. But it's the whole paragraph in my Bible here is called Living for God. So it could be all of it really. But just verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. Okay, I'll just leave it there. There is more, but I'll leave it there. Okay, as a result, do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. They suffer in their body. Okay, and for me, that to reflect on my life, what I said at the beginning, why is my life not operating in what I've described? Why am I not there yet? And if I was to reflect on my life, I think it's because those comforts and those distractions are far too evident in my life. Okay, and for me, it's things like, I like to relax. I'm quite a laid-back person. I like to perhaps get home from work. I like to sit down. I'll go on the sofa, maybe check my emails. I'll just BBC Sport app. That's quite a nice little place for me to visit. Go. I'll check up on the sports news. I'm an Ipswich fan, and even though I live in Northampton. I support Ipswich. I wonder if they signed anyone. Please, striker. Please. Hope so. But that's how I often spend, it's not all of my time. Don't get me wrong. I do go to church. But there are things in my life that actually I do. Is it really what I'm talking about this morning? They distract me from my run with God. Okay, and they're not wrong in themselves. They're not things that are bad. Going onto the internet to check the news is not a bad thing to do as such. And the video that I'm going to show at the end is, I think, a brilliant video that just sums this all up brilliantly. But I like to do just, you know, the relaxing stuff, the casual stuff, the sit down, the eating and the going and catching up with friends. And for me, those are the things that get in the way. Those are the things for me that, why am I not living a life that is more in line with Scripture? Because actually, I'm looking out for myself ultimately, aren't I? I like to look after my body. I like to make sure I've got enough sleep instead of staying up and praying lots and lots and lots. I want to go to bed. I want to make sure, oh, it's lunchtime. I haven't got time to pray extra because it's lunchtime. I can't read my Bible because I'm too busy doing this. And I'm exaggerating slightly, but to make the point, actually things in my life get in the way and they stop me. Okay, and I asked Kerry about this recently. I was like, is that the same with you? And she said, actually, no, I think for me, it's probably work. It's work. She's a very, very productive and busy person, and the house is always clean, and she works until the early hours. We're both school teachers, and it's a lot of that. And actually, that's probably a similar example, but the opposite to me is that there are things that stop us pursuing God in our prayer time, in our walk with him, and doing those things that we know we should do. And it's not trying to condemn anyone this morning, but we know that actually that's what we want. That's where we want to be, but there are things that happen in our lives that just stop that. I wonder what that would be like for you. I wonder what your example would be if you were to reflect, well, why is my life not, you know, why am I not that more intimate with God? Why am I not that bit closer? If I'm a 4, why aren't I a 5? If I'm a 7, why aren't I an 8? And there will be some things that are stopping that. And for each of us, it will be different. And if I jump down to verse 7 in 1 Peter 4, this is a verse that sparked it all off months ago for me. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. And that sober mind, that phrase stuck with me for a long time. I thought, yeah, actually, I think my mind is polluted, is a word, a phrase that I just came up with. I didn't come up with the word polluted, but that's just what I thought of my life. So actually, I think I'll find myself wanting to pursue God. I want to sit down and pray. I want to go and have some quiet time. But my mind is so often just full of stuff. It's full of the latest transfer news. It's full of the headline news for BBC. It's full of my work and my work emails and what I need to do. And we can't, therefore, necessarily not work, can we? We've got to do these things in life. But how much headspace is all that taking up? And this is saying here, be alert and of sober mind. And for me, reflecting on myself, that for me is I've just got to make sure I don't spend too much doing that. I just can't do too much. And I think I'm aware when I'm doing something, and I think, actually, I need to stop now because, you know, 10 minutes on the internet, that's no problem with that. But actually, when it creeps up to half an hour, or when you're doing something and you find yourself wasting time away, that is not being alert and sober-minded for me. So how it looks for you, I'll leave that with you. And again, this is creeping into the getting a bit religious in terms of you mustn't do that. You mustn't do that. And I don't want that to be the point of this message. The point is not you need to stop this and you need to stop what you're doing and you need to stop what you're doing there. But the point is what I'm coming on to now, in fact, and I won't spoil it for you. Last scripture, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. And that, for me, is, you know, the point of this morning, really. It started off in terms of, you know, what does the Bible look like? That's where I want to be. But for me, where I am today in my walk with God, and I keep using the word walk, and the irony is I'm calling today's message, does it help you run? And I think that probably is, maybe that's a bit of prophetic stuff going on there, because I think personally, if I look at my Christian life, if I lined it up with Scripture, I've walked it. I've walked or jogged through. And actually, there are times that I've sprinted. There are times when God's used me and I've been very, very close to God, and in many ways I still am, but I want my life to be running for God, and I want to make sure that I don't just coast through in an easy form of Christianity that we perhaps have experienced for years in church, that, you know, it's like what we experienced week after week, but I want it to be more like what I shared earlier, more like that book of Acts, where the supernatural is taking place, where actually I'm able to have a conversation, I can walk out this building and just feel compelled to get down the front and speak to people. And you know what I mean? Just that lifestyle, and not be so concerned with my own personal self-interest, which is hard, isn't it? It's hard. Like, we've got a family afternoon this afternoon. We're going to Woodbridge and going to have a nice afternoon playing games and having some food. And I'm really looking forward to it. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But if I don't, you get what I mean. I want my life to be more than just that. I want it to be significant. And when I get to heaven, God can look and say, yes, you used your time well on earth. I think I'm going to play the video now, if we can just cue that up. This is I don't know if anyone's heard of a sermon jam before. You get them on YouTube, and they're really good, actually, because it basically takes someone's preach, and you only listen to about 3 or 4 minutes of it, which is wonderful, isn't it? But this is an example of a sermon that's just been chopped into 3 minutes, and it's got some lovely music in the background. But this is John Piper, and it's basically based on that Hebrews scripture. So I'll just conclude what I'm saying after we've watched it. So we'll go with that, please. So that's, I've watched that years ago, and it's one that I've never really forgotten. And I've called this message, "Does it help you run?" And actually, that's a phrase that I've, you know, prepared this, got that title, I suppose, from hearing this months ago. And it's really, really helped me. And if there's anything that you were to take away from this morning, it would be that question. Because I found myself over the last week and 2 weeks sit down. Does this help me run? And it's just been a real good check of actually, what am I doing with my time today? Is it helping me pursue God? Is it helping me in my journey? And if it's a yes, fantastic, keep doing it. And if it's a no, stop. Stop it. Don't do it. Is it helping you run? So going on the internet, it's not a sin necessarily. Okay, relaxing and going to the park, they're not sins necessarily, all those things. But are they helping you run? Are they helping you pursue God? And I'm just about done, really. Just to sort of summarize it, he said it so well. How did Jesus manage that? Okay, for the glory set before him, he knew that his physical suffering, he knew that leaving heaven to come to earth and the pain that would come from that and that separation with God on the cross, he knew that it was worth it because he could see the glory set before him. And for me, I'm like, well, but how do we apply a message like this? Because I'm always one that, you know, I like to hear a message, but what does that look like practically? And for me, I was reflecting on it. So how do I make sure that I go home from here and I don't just carry on doing what I've been doing? How do I do that? And it's like what Jesus, the glory set before him. For me, it's Jesus. Jesus is the glory set before me. That relationship with Jesus is my sort of prize, that intimacy with him, knowing that if I can fix my eyes on him, if I know that through a deeper relationship with him, I will be free. I'll be free from sin. I'll be free from any chains that I've got in my life. I'll be free from any guilt, that I don't have to feel bad about stuff that I do wrong, because I will go home and muck up. I'm human. We will all go home and muck up. But that deep relationship with Jesus, there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation, so I don't need to feel guilty about it. I just need to get up and run again. If I pursue Jesus, I don't have to have that condemnation. I don't have to have that bondage, that sin that just entangles. I don't have to have those things in my life. I will feel free. I'll be able to experience that freedom. I'll be able to experience the joy that goes beyond understanding, that peace that passes all understanding. And that for me is the goal. So when I'm at home and I feel my flesh wanting to do the stuff that I've talked about, if I can fix my eyes on Jesus, that glory set before us, actually there's my motivation. That actually, no, because the prize is worth it. That discipline, in that strict training that we talked about, that running that race and sacrificing our bodies and the temptations that come our way and saying no to our flesh, say, yes, I do feel like going to do this, but I know doing this will be better for me. I do feel like going off and doing that pleasurable thing, but actually spending some time in God's presence will be worth it for me. Or I want to go and do this, but I know going to catch up that friend to help them, that will be worth it. Having those things before us will be the things that will help us to say no to the flesh. And I think the last note that I've put, and I'll finish on it, is that, you know, that self-control, that's a fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? So spending time in God's presence, spending time with Jesus, I think it's a natural byproduct as well. All we need to do is just chase after Jesus, run after him, and all these other stuff that might sound, wow, that's going to be a lot of loss, that's going to be hard, I think we'll find it comes a bit easier. I'm not saying it's easier, it will become more natural because of it's an overflow, isn't it? It's an outpouring of our relationship. So I'll leave that with you. Does it help you run?